Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like Mel Kiper, who is set to stop by at 10:30. We will talk NFL draft with him. Ben Lyons for our movie segment will join us at 11:30 today. It is Eddie Murphy's birthday, so we're going to do Eddie Murphy movies today. Best Eddie Murphy movies, which I feel like is a debate amongst itself. Like, we can just do that on our own and then see where we are when Ben gets here at 11:30. But this segment brought to you by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for just $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Congratulations to Venice Mace, Steve Mason, the most important person at this radio station, as the biggest underdog in simulation basketball history, beat me and Ireland to win the NBA 2K simulation. So I feel like I am a politician who won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College. Somehow. I feel like that's kind of the way it's happening right now. Greg, is that a good analogy that I won the popular vote in a landslide.
You destroyed the popular vote and then got destroyed on the floor last night.
Well, I am
everyone.
I am going to question some things, though. I feel like maybe we need to bring Carlo on. I am curious as to why my rotations all of a sudden were all out of whack. Like Derek Fisher was playing more minutes and than Anthony Davis on my team for some reason as the computer was playing it out. Especially when I was going up against Wilt and Shaq. That I don't know how that made any sense.
The best player on the the best player on the floor last night was Shaquille O'Neal. Now, right. Let's go back in time to Tuesday before you guys actually did the draft. In the very first segment of this show,
you said to take Shaq.
Exactly. And he was the player of the game for two of the three games for Mason.
He was. You were right, Greg.
Hey, oh, wow. That was it. I was expecting.
I mean, I'm not Mason in Ireland. I can just say you were right. It's very easy. All right. Carlo is on the line real quick before I get into. By the way, we've got some stuff on Frank Vogel that you're going to want to hear. We'll have that for you in just two or three minutes. So stick around. Please don't go anywhere. Let's talk to Carlo real quick. Carlo, why is it Derek Fisher played more than Anthony Davis? Why is it not my starters? Kareem was on the bench for over a quarter at a time. Like, why did all that happen? What did you do wrong?
Hold on. Why are you blaming me? These are the questions that you should be asking your coach.
My coach is the computer, which is you.
No, I'm not the computer. I'm just setting it up. The computer is the computer. You saw me. I think everybody saw me. All of our viewers on Twitter and Twitch saw me set the lineup, reset the lineup, but it was your coach who kept on changing it.
I felt like we should have played in arcade mode. That way the starters would have played would have played longer. And if that would have happened, I feel like I would have dominated. But anyway, all right, Carlo, you're off the hook. Fine, whatever. You passed the buck to the computer and to the video game.
Valiant effort.
Yeah. And Kobe, by the way, couldn't hit a damn shot yesterday. What the hell was that all about?
That was rough. That was rough to watch. And that's coming off hitting a game winner in against Ireland's team the night before when I tried the game out. I swear he did it. I mean, he made me look bad.
Yeah. I mean, did you give me 2016, Kobe? Is that what you gave me?
No.
All right. I'm
I
just
saw
checking.
All those comments about what kind of Kobe you got. That is the all-time. That was the Kobe on the all-time Lakers roster.
All right, Carlo, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it. Congratulations and good job on getting this done. We're going to have you do a lot more stuff down the road. So I don't want to run you under the bus too much. But anyway. All right. So whatever. Mason won. Congratulations to Mason. Ireland also finished second. I finished last. I didn't win a game. It's just insane. Anyway.
Were you able to sleep last night? Were you like?
I wasn't. I woke up at 3 in the morning. I'm not even joking about that. I woke up at 3 in the morning. I could not fall back asleep until like 5 in the morning. It was rough. I had a rough night last night.
Were you sitting there like, why is Byron Scott in the paint? What is happening?
Yeah, why is Byron Scott and Derek Fisher guarding Wilt and Shaq? What is happening here?
God, I mean, Wilt was unstoppable. By the way, he was blocking Anthony Davis with over and over again. He did it to Kareem. It didn't matter who got inside. That size from Mason was just unstoppable inside. And nobody could shoot from outside. Nobody
was making threes. It was actually pretty awful to watch, to be honest with you.
That was fun. I had a great time. That was like 2 hours and 45 minutes that I want to keep forever and do it all the time. Because that was a lot of fun. I had a blast.
If people want to rewatch it, it's on our social media feed, right? On ESPN Los Angeles? All right. So anyway, you can watch it there. So Frank Vogel did a conference call yesterday. I know he was on Mason in Ireland too, but I didn't get a chance to hear that. So I apologize to Mason in Ireland. I'm normally a big P1, but I was busy during that time. But he was asked a number of different questions. And most importantly, he was asked about himself and his health and how worried he was about the coronavirus, considering the team had just played the Nets, right? And they had gotten tested, and two guys on the team tested positive. So here's what Vogel said about that.
Yeah, I did, you know, but again, it's just we were not told to be tested. Obviously, everybody recognized the shortage of tests, and, you know, we're only going to do what the local health department told us to do. We weren't asked to be tested at that point, so, you know, I reassured my family that, you know, I was in good health. While I had been around those guys, there had been some social distancing guidelines in place, you know, so I felt fine, and I felt confident that a test wasn't needed for me personally. But I think it's everybody's in a case-by-case basis with that.
So, yeah, of course, anybody would be worried in that situation. We were all worried. I remember Bergman, speaking of you telling, you know, wanting to, you know, beat your chest over a picking Shaq. Remember when you were making fun of me about cleaning the studio all that much when I was in there?
You were right, George. See, I'm not Mason Ireland either. I can say you were right.
There you go. All right, so then Vogel was asked about basketball and the potential of basketball. And look, there's a lot of questions. We talked about it, right? A lot of the trolls are out there. LeBron doesn't want to get the season going because, you know, he's old and his team is old and they're not going to be able to ramp it up, and the young teams are going to have an advantage, and that's why he doesn't want to play because he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to get bounced early. Anyway, that's my best media troll voice. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's actually a media troll voice or not, but that's what just came out of my mouth. So anyway, Vogel was asked about how confident he is about the Lakers if they do end up playing, if they can reestablish a rhythm. Here's what Vogel said.
It's going to be difficult to just say, hey, maintain, and, you know, we just got to, you know, pick up right where we left off. You know, we have to reestablish our chemistry, reestablish our work ethic, reestablish our conditioning and rhythm and timing, you know, but every team in the league is going to have to do that. You know, with the veterans that we have on this team, the way we've come together so quickly for really a new group gives me a reason to be encouraged that we can accomplish this very quickly again.
100%. He nailed it. Every team is going to have to deal with this, right? Every team has some kind of ramp that they need to get up to get back to speed. You know, it's not like the Bucks. We talked about it, right? When, who was it? Buker or whoever was saying that the Lakers have an old team. The Bucks have an older team. I mean, Giannis isn't old, but the rest of those guys, for the most part, are older. Especially their key players as far as off the bench. So I think that, and they play a 10 or 11 man rotation. And even though it gets shorter during the playoffs, they still count on a lot of guys who are going to be older in age. Like Wes Matthews is no spring chicken by any stretch of the imagination. He's a big cog as far as what they do in their rotation and their three-point shooting. So I'm with him on that. And the other part is this. The Lakers, one of the big questions, and Tim Bontemps was on here a couple weeks ago. He was a big critic early on in the season. Not critic, but he said that he didn't think the Lakers could win 50 games. And, of course, clearly they were going to eclipse that or eclipse that. And even he said the other day, I mean, I was stunned at how quickly they gelled. Like, I couldn't believe that that was the case. And Vogel's right. They've already done this once before, gelling quickly. So I don't think it's going to be as difficult for them. It's not like there's zero familiarity here. There's real familiarity now. So as quickly as they gelled the first time, I feel like, comparatively speaking, they should be fine moving forward too. And speaking of moving forward, Vogel was asked about what he knows about options moving forward for the team in the league.
I trust the league is going to just basically get as most out of it that we can while doing it in a socially responsible way and in a way that's safe for the world. Whatever ability the NBA has to max that out in the right way, the safest way, you know, that's what we're gonna fall on. But I don't really have an opinion on, you know, exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has an opinion because, as I've told you here, and you've heard, whether it was Bontemps or Windhorst or whoever's come on this show, Ramona, there's a million things on the table right now. So why have an opinion on any of it? You know, you don't even know what is real and what's not. And we're still probably a month or so away from even getting close to figuring that out, which, by the way, is going to lead me to what I'm going to talk about in the next segment. It with college football, because I know we've talked to people about college football, and we had on Dennis Dodd, who had no idea as to whether there actually will be a season in college football. Well, Brett McMurphy, who is one of the insiders for college football, thinks differently. We'll have that for you. So, you know, maybe there will be a college football season, just done a little differently. I'll explain that in a second. But let me finish up with Vogel. So Vogel was then asked, all right, doomsday scenario, NBA cancels the season. Then what, coach?
That certainly is a possibility, and you know, it would be a huge disappointment if we were not able to play. However, like, we get it, you know. I mean, this is bigger than basketball. You know, us getting back on the court is not the most important thing for the world right now. You know, hopefully we have that chance, and if we're not able to, you know, it would be a big disappointment. But you know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
This is why I'm such a big fan of Frank Vogel, and I've been on the Vogel train basically very early on once he got hired, and you know, dating back to Summer League when he and I, you know, chatted for a little bit. It's just, he's so practical, right? Like, yeah, of course it would be a disappointment for all the reasons we've underlined over weeks and months and whatnot, that this is the Lakers' best chance to win a championship. But also, real world, hey, there's a pandemic going on. So as much as we need the escape, and I think that the NBA, as I've told you, and numerous guests have come on here to tell you, that they're going to exhaust every opportunity to get this thing done. And even Adam Silver told our Rachel Nichols that, hey, not there yet, not ready to think about that yet. And that was just a couple of weeks ago, though it does feel like years ago, the way things are happening in real time. I think that that's the right attitude to take. If that indeed's the case, it is bigger than basketball. You know, and basketball will survive, and we'll be able to move forward, and we'll be able to figure it out, because we always do. But having that just rational logic to me is why he is as good as he is. All right, coming up next, more comments from some former players about whether the NBA should resume in bubble cities, a new plan for college football to come back, and Rex Ryan comes across a little too mean. We'll tell you what that's all about. Stick around here in just a few moments. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. Yeah, at progressive.com. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So Mel Kiper is supposed to join us in the next segment. Hopefully he will be there. Bergman, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Since we had the NBA 2K thing yesterday, I've got two new plans. We'll unveil the other one in the second hour. Yeah, I got two new plans for the show. I got one more that includes Mason in Ireland. Do you think Mason in Ireland will go for a all-time Dodgers thing where each of us picks the eight position players, three starters and a closer from the all-time Dodgers list?
Yeah, I think they'd be up for it. I think maybe in a couple weeks, though, not like next.
Not like next week, but like, in like a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then,
I think they would.
And then Carlo can play like, I don't know, a five-inning game on like MLB The Show.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. I think, and Carlo knows how to do all that stuff now. Maybe he can. You know, see, with baseball, you don't need to change your rotations around very much, so it could actually work out better.
Yeah,
for you.
It actually would be a little easier because, there's not like people coming in and out that much. You know what I mean? Like, so I think.
Right.
So how many people watched the thing we did yesterday on Twitch and on Twitter?
I don't have the full numbers in front of me right now, but the best that I have right now, it looks like on Twitter and Periscope, it looks like it's about 25,000 viewers, which is
wow,
strong.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
And then on Twitch, it was consistently over 200 people watching at one time. So I think
at one time, but we don't have the total, right?
No, I think it was like 1,600 unique viewers. So
okay,
yeah, which I mean, for Twitch, for ESPN Los Angeles, is a strong number.
I mean, we don't really do anything on there. Yeah,
no, exactly. I think it's an overall success because Twitch is not one of our main platforms. So to get even that is fantastic, and the interaction was great last night.
The interaction was great. So great job by you guys who tuned in, and over 20,000 views on Twitter and Periscope, which is awesome. Real quick, don't forget, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, a friend, family member, or yourself. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Provide first and last name, city, school, and sport, or you can post a short video of yourself, your family member, teammate, classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710 senior shout out. Each one of our shows will highlight one of those seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. All right. So we were just talking about Frank Vogel and the possibilities with the NBA, and he did a conference call yesterday. So look, there's been a lot of talk about playing this in a bubble city or whatever, you know? So Kendrick Perkins was on ESPN, and look, he just was recently playing in the league, and he talks to all these players. Here's what he said about the bubble city option.
I'm totally against this idea. Like, at this point of time, I have a wife and four kids, and if I were still in the NBA at this point of time, there's no way that I would be leaving my family during this pandemic of this coronavirus. There's no way. They would just, have to find me or whatever. But you cannot ask players to leave their families right now during this, this pandemic that we're dealing with. It just won't happen.
So that is, look, a fair thing. Like, I think that becomes the challenge, right? When we had McMiniman on the other day, he said LeBron was opposed to it. And mostly because of that, right? Like, he's already, like, okay with not playing in front of fans, which was something he was not cool with initially. But, I can understand not wanting to be away from your families. I mean, unless the NBA finds a way to get immediate family there, right? Like, I just feel like, man, that's a challenge. I guess if you did it in Vegas, there's enough hotel space where they can commandeer and make that happen. But it's not an easy proposition, Bergman.
No, it's not at all, especially Vegas. I mean, I guess all the casinos are down, so you don't have to worry about the overall partying that's happening.
No, there's nobody there. All the casinos are closed.
Right. So I mean, if you can bring your family with you, I can see it possibly happening. But otherwise, no, he's right. This is a pandemic. This is a very certain time where you have to be at home. And the biggest thing for me too is that this doesn't help. It helps people at home get through things by seeing games, but it doesn't help the people that work at the stadiums or anything else. So it's, I don't know, people aren't getting their money that they deserve for working at these places. I'm not a fan.
No, I mean, I get it. I get that part of it, but I don't know if look, that you're not going to these games, if they get played in, for example, they're not going to get played at arenas. So this that's the unfortunate part of this. Like, they're either going to get played in a bubble city like this, or they're going to be played at practice facilities where you're going to have a minimal amount of people there. So, the economy of the NBA for beyond the essential, broadcast, players, team, training staff, etc. Like, I just don't see very many people being able to be part of this.
No, and so when it comes to your family members, so it's just immediate family. What if you have, a sick grandmother or whatever it happens to be? Like, you're only going to be allowed to bring so many people. LeBron has, in his house alone, it looks like from all the videos I see, there's about 5, 6, 7 people there. Does he get all of them to come with him? Is it like a limited number that you're allowed? It gets all very murky.
No, it does. It does get murky. That's probably the best way to describe it. But look, everybody's trying to figure this thing out, including college football, right? We had Dennis Dodd on earlier in the week talking about Maybe there is no college football season, that, you know, that there certainly wouldn't be one in front of fans, but he just thinks it's very difficult. Now, Brett McMurphy, who's also a college football insider, he thinks differently. He thinks that they are adamant to get this thing done, and if it takes having to start in January, then so be it. Here's Brett McMurphy of Stadium.
Absolutely. They have to, because they cannot. The alternative is, you know, they're not going to obviously have zero revenue, but you're going to go, some of these Power Five schools are going to go from, you know, $100 million in revenue down to nothing. So, yes, they will play the games, even if there are no fans, even if it's TV only. Again, if they're given the all clear and they can go ahead and move forward, yes, they will definitely play in the spring. And obviously that brings up a number of issues. Trevor Lawrence, projected to be the number one pick in next year's draft. If you're him, what do you do? If the season doesn't start until mid-January and the draft is in the middle of April, and you look at the schedule and you're supposed to play a game at NC State the week of the NFL draft, do you even want to play that season because you're taking a chance of injury? Yes, you take a chance of injury if the season starts in September, but it's a totally different animal. So you could have a number of projected high NFL picks say, look, I'm not playing because the way the seasons are. That's fine. We'll get people out there that will play. They'll have the playoffs. It will be different, but we'll get it done. Again, if we get that all clear by January. And then also think of the repercussions on the backside. The season ends Memorial Day around that time, and then they're literally getting ready for fall camp like two months later. How will that impact the coaching carousel? Will ADs be less likely to fire coaches off a bad season because now he's only got 2 months for the new coach to come in? When will the so-called spring football practice that we've normally had, when would that occur? Would that occur in the summer? Obviously, there's a million things they're going to have to figure out. But believe me, the number one priority is to get a season in, whether it's 12 games, whether it's a conference-only season. You don't play any non-conference games. That's been kicked around.
I mean, look, all that stuff is fascinating. Only conference games, right? Makes sense. The Trevor Lawrence part of it, I mean, there's plenty of other guys, but just someone like him, right? Josh Fields of Ohio State, who's going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken next year. Like, I wouldn't play if I were them. Like, I mean, it would be like, I get that you can get hurt in September, as Brett said, but if you get hurt in like January, February, March, if that's when you're going to play the college football season instead of the normal time in the fall, you're going to play it in the winter. Yeah, that could absolutely hurt your draft stock, and it could cost you millions and millions of dollars. And college football doesn't necessarily need Trevor Lawrence or Josh Fields per se. There's always the next five-star quarterback coming up in one of those programs. So those guys shouldn't feel bad, or any player in any position who's in a good position to get drafted and make millions and millions of dollars and take care of their families shouldn't feel bad about that either. But that's an aspect of this that I hadn't really even thought of, Greg.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about it either, and that's, they absolutely shouldn't play. But my favorite part about that bite is if you actually watch the video of it on Twitter, when he's talking about the coaching carousel, there's a picture of Clay Helton.
Yes.
Of Clay Helton just says, yes. Teflon Clay, because yeah. You can't actually fire him right now. If you play the games in January and it goes all the way into March, April, something like that, and then you have to get back into fall practice right away, basically – you can't fire Clay. So even if they lose to Alabama in the first and they end up the season, 8-4 again, and the USC fan base is going crazy, you can't fire him. Oh, it's fantastic.
Right, because it's not fantastic for them. It's fantastic for you because you're a UCLA fan, Bruin boy.
Exactly.
But
yes.
But he's right. He's absolutely right. Like, you can't – I mean, you're going to fire the coach and then you're going to give the next guy 2 months, you know what I'm saying, to get his whole situation settled. Like, that's a really tall task and really tough to try to figure out. So, and by the way, it could happen with Chip Kelly too there, buddy boy. So relax a little bit there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's on a much smaller scale when it comes to UCLA football, to USC football, which I can absolutely admit. But still, yes, you're right. If Chip Kelly goes 3-9 again, then yeah, I'm going to be losing my mind that I have to deal with him for another year after that. So it's the same thing. But Clay Helton is the big one, because USC football is so huge to the city of Los Angeles, to USC. It's amazing that this guy is still around.
All right, couple questions for you guys. I want you to chime in on the phones at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Because we're going to wait for Mel Kiper to join us here in a little bit. I don't know when Mel's going to join us exactly. So we'll try to sneak in some calls here. would you be okay having the NBA play in like these bubble cities? Are you okay with that? Would you just take any sports right now, even if it's that way? Would you be okay with college football moving to January, even if it's with no fans? What would you, where do you draw the line on this stuff? Or should they not play at all? And should we just move forward? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll line up to take your calls next. Plus Mel Kiper Jr. will stop by to talk draft. Sedano, 710-ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mel Kiper is supposed to join us here shortly. Laura, let me know when he's there. Want to get people's thoughts at 877-710-ESPN about the stuff we've been discussing this morning. You know, we had the Frank Vogel audio about, you know, what to do in this situation, how to move forward. Kendrick Perkins saying he, if he was still playing, he wouldn't want to play in one of these bubble cities. What would you do? What do you want as a fan? Are you okay with even this kind of stuff? Like, where does the line, where do you draw the line on this stuff? College football saying they want to play in January. Like, would you be okay with that? I mean, they're still kids. Like, we don't even know when they're going to get back on campus. Like, that's the other part of this equation. Like, there's so many things here. So if you want to hop aboard, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And, of course, in that audio we played from Brett McMurphy, of course, Bruin boy Bergman over there, noticed that Clay Helton was a part of the video when they said, you know, and maybe you can't fire coaches even after a bad season, because if you start that late in the year, you start in January, you know, or and you don't finish the season until like May, then, you know, you only have a couple months before spring camp, which turns into summer camp. And, you know, it's just too hard to get someone in. So basically, you know, what they're alluding to is that someone like Clay, who I love, okay, I know you guys don't all love him. I love him as a person. I think, you know, he clearly had a rough season last year and the recruiting hasn't been great. But I it would be tough to fire someone like that, because it would just be tough to hire someone new in that spot.
First of all, it was hard to miss him. It was a shot of him running out of the Coliseum for like 10 seconds.
Yes, while in the video.
He was right, talking about. It was pretty hard to miss him. But at the same, but also, that's the biggest thing about him, is what you said about Clay Helton. He's a really nice guy. You like him as a person. Everybody likes him as a person. That does not make you a good football coach.
No, you're right. I get it. I'm with you. All right, let's go to CB in Pasadena. What's up, CB?
Hey, what's going on, Sedano, or right now? You know, this is being cataclysmic. I mean, this is stopping. You might have to bring in Albert Einstein to figure this scenario out. Because just as the Lakers were rolling, and with LeBron James with his electric interplanetary and almost, you know, spine tingling and jaw dropping performance, I was looking forward to this. Then all of this thing has happened with the coronavirus. And I know nobody wished it on anybody, but I can understand the players because I played basketball, and you don't want to play in an empty stadium. And, you know, just play for, what is this, a sideshow or something? Now, my philosophy would be bring in Disney, and maybe Disney was good at making dummies and things, and, you know, and people in the stands and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, that's not going to wash with the players. So I would say it's going to be have to be condensed. But the shame of it is that when you're an athlete, you have to prepare yourself. And I think these athletes, they'll be ready, but you have to have some intestinal fortitude to get out there and work on your own. Kobe?
Oh, no. Listen, I get it, CB, and it's been challenging. And thank you for the call, CB in Pasadena. Stay healthy. There was a story today, Matt Velasquez, who covers the Bucks, that Giannis and Chris Middleton, you know, they're doing their best to work out at home, but they don't have – they don't have like hoops at home. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, an NBA player doesn't have a hoop at his house. Those two guys, and they're just practicing dribbling, like basically, and obviously working out. They've got like a gym set up, but not a hoop set up at their house, which is kind of wild. Let's go to Anthony in Alhambra. Let's go, Anthony.
Hey, I just wanted to say, why not just wait till January of next year? Because what we can do is there's already so much emotional attachment to this past season. I mean, it's already kicked off. We got legacies on the line, right? So why not just start January where everything should be, hopefully, you know, slowed down. And
you're saying January of 21?
Yes, and then just disclude the 2021 season from the books and just finish the 2020 in 2021. And then just go ahead and just do it that way and then start the 2022 when it's time to do that. Because there's already an emotional attachment to this season, this past season. So you got to finish that out. 2021.
Right, which is interesting, which is interesting, Anthony, because I've heard the other way, right, where you just vacate 2020 and you just start again in 2021. Yeah, but you're saying the opposite. You're saying the opposite because of the emotional investment in this particular season.
Exactly. And then you can go ahead and finish the 2 weeks completely that is left. So it's fair for all the teams in the eighth and ninth seeds. And then you go ahead and finish that out with the 2 weeks of play. And then that way they can get their, you know, momentum back, their chemistry back, and you just relax. And then you get into the postseason and finish that off seven-game series, and that's it, just like that. And then you have a longer offseason in the 2021 season to get ready for the 2022.
That's interesting.
The 2021 season.
I hadn't heard anyone with that theory, Anthony. I got to digest it a little bit, but thank you for the call. Stay healthy. Stay safe. But, you know, I don't know. Like, it is interesting. It's interesting. Like, whereas if you're going to – how do you feel about that, Greg? If you're going to potentially punt the 2020 season and then start fresh in 21, would you rather that or would you rather Anthony's call, which is – start in January again, finish out the regular, do like your preseason then finish out the regular season. You're almost back on a similar timeline as to when you stopped a year earlier, and then conclude the 2020 season in 2021, and make that for the record books, and then punt on the 21 season altogether, and then, you know, you're back on your regular schedule. I don't see the NBA doing that. But it is something I hadn't heard yet. Like, it wasn't, you know, so many people have different theories and perspectives on this and different suggestions. It's not one I've heard of. I just don't see the NBA willing to wait a year to conclude a previous season. I think that it seems more likely they would shutter this season and pick up next season as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of things that can go with that too, because then if you start the season new again in January of next year to get the continuity back, is Kevin Durant allowed to play? Is Clay allowed to play? I mean, are all these guys that weren't playing?
Those are good points. Yep.
All of a sudden you're having a team where, like, maybe Golden State goes on a little bit of a run and makes it to the eighth seed somehow, which I doubt would ever happen. But who knows? Maybe they don't lose a game, and all of a sudden they're in the playoffs and the Lakers are playing the Warriors in the first round. I don't know. I just think I think you have to punt the season if you're going to start all over brand new. You can't wait till January.
Yeah, I don't think the Warriors would come back, to be honest with you. They're pretty far
back. No, they wouldn't.
The pack. Yeah.
But, you know, these are scenarios.
Yeah. Let me go to Ray in Culver City. Ray, what's up? Oh, Ray dropped. You know what? Let's take a break because we're going to try to locate Mel Kiper Jr., who was supposed to bring us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. We'll talk to Mel, hopefully, in the next segment. If not, Stugatz is going to join us at the Levitard Show at 11 o'clock. Here's why he's going to join us. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment. Justin Turner of the Dodgers has an idea on how to make baseball better. And it comes down to extra innings. It's a pretty radical idea. But the funny thing is, my guy Stugatz on the Levitard Show had this idea years ago. But we'll tell you what it is in just a second. Stick around. Hopefully we'll talk to Mel as well. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Save water this spring and get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's what I use. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed that saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. And by the way, if you miss any one of our interviews from this week, we've had so many great guests on. Mina Kimes yesterday was on, right? Ariel Helwani, Dave McMiniman, Ramona Shelburne, so on and so forth. A ton of great interviews. You can go to the interview on demand section of our Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? So, couple things. Speaking of interviews, Monday, Greg, who is going to join us?
Monday, Dave Roberts is going to be joining us.
Yes, the manager of your Los Angeles Dodgers will be joining us on Monday. So that'll be fun. I always love talking to Dave, so it'll be good to catch up with him. Do we know what time yet, or do we not have a time on that yet?
No, we don't have a time yet, but I'll get it this weekend for sure.
Okay, great. So just somewhere between 10 and noon, Dave Roberts will be joining us tomorrow. Monday. It's Friday. Speaking of tomorrow, though, I will be on your radio from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. on ESPN Radio. I'll be doing a show with Taylor Twellman and Katie George for the network. So if you, you got nothing to do, pop on the app or listen on your radio, and we'll be there. I'll be there. A familiar voice for you on the network. I know that that doesn't always happen, but it is happening this weekend. So anyway, real quick, got a message which makes sense about Anthony and Alhambra, who talked about how about we just pause on the NBA season and, you know, restart January of 21 and pick up the season from there and then punt on 21. While that sounds good on the surface, and I don't think the NBA would do it, though, a point that's been brought to my attention is if you do that, the contracts for the players wouldn't make sense. And that's absolutely right. So there's no chance that would happen just based on that. Like the Players Association wouldn't allow it because of that.
Oh, yeah. Like Anthony Davis is a free agent as of, what, July 1st?
Well, they'd actually lose. Right. So there's that. And they'd actually lose more money, the players, in that sense. Yeah. If you're punting a full season as opposed to just a few, you know, weeks of a season. So right. There's no chance that would happen.
I mean, I know people have talked about it before, but do you know the answer to that? I can't think of it off the top of my head. Anthony Davis is July 1st is a free agent. Does that all get pushed? Does he still get the?
I'm glad you mentioned that because you clearly weren't paying attention when Bobby Marks was on this week, and you could go back on the podcast brought to you by our friends at Capital One on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, where he discussed all of that, and he said something to the effect of everything would get moved and get pushed more than likely, yes.
Maybe I'll just bring it up for people that, you know, maybe not didn't hear that.
Right. Right. But he went into way more detail than I did, but that was the gist of what he said. All right. So Justin Turner of the Dodgers, he wants to do what instead of play extra innings, Greg?
He wants to have a home run derby to end games.
I feel like there's no need for extra inning games. Like baseball's long enough. Okay. And they need to do something to spice up the game a little bit. Book Shambi has talked about that if a game gets to like the 12th inning, and he's the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio, and of course, one of the voices on ESPN Television, and he believes that after the 12th inning, you should just either go to a tie or you should put like a runner on second base, which is, by the way, that stuff's been put out there a bunch by a bunch of different people, but he was the first guy to do that. And just like you start the inning with a guy on second base, a runner in scoring position. So it's not like some of these things haven't been discussed before. Home run derby? But what do you do with the home run derby? Does he want like a coach pitching or does he want like a real pitcher out there?
Well, you can't have a real pitcher out there.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like you just have like the George Lombard, the Dodgers first base coach, come out there and just throw balls at him in a home run derby style. Like, okay.
Yeah, just a guy that can put it right over the middle of the plate. Now, what gets interesting, though, is like, do you go – let's say you have somebody like Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor has 3 home runs in a game, but you know that Jock Peterson has been great in these home run derbies. Do you put the guy that's been hot in the game, or do you go with the guy like Jock? Is it one guy? Is it 3 guys? Like, does it go directly to the All-Star game way where there's only a 5 minutes?
I don't know. I think that you have to figure that part of it out. But I do think that it is something to, you know, at least think about. But again, I'm telling you, that's why I want to bring Stu Gatz on, because he's had this magic at bat theory. I don't remember the exact details of it, but basically he says that every team has one guy that they designate for this home run derby style thing that Justin Turner has also suggested, but it's just one guy. Like you have your guy, like every team has in the American League, you know how there's like a designated hitter or whatever, right. But you, before every game, when Skipper puts in his lineup card, okay, he's also designating his magic at bat for this home run derby style thing.
Huh. So is it like is it a specific guy? Like, he doesn't play in the actual field. He doesn't actually play. He's just a guy that's
No. He could be any. No, it's not just a specific guy. He's a guy on your roster. It could be anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. So for the Dodgers, or, you know, I don't know, who's like their best home run hitter?
Cody Bellinger.
Right. Sure. Yeah, so it could be Cody Bellinger. But like you said, because Jock Peterson is so good at the home run derby, maybe it's Jock Peterson is the guy who is designated with a little, you know, asterisk or something on the lineup card where he is the magic at bat.
I mean, I kind of like the idea. I want to hear what Stu Gotts actually has to say about it, but I don't know. I'm okay with it because over extra inning games, they rarely go past 12 innings anyway, but when they do, it just can go on forever. Yeah,
but Justin Turner's whole point is we don't need to go even to the 10th inning. Like, just go to this.
Well, I think it should be like hockey. You know, like you get 5 minutes of extra of actual hockey.
So you get one inning?
Yeah, you get one or two innings to get through it.
No, not two. Two's too much, bro. Because each inning is at least 20-something minutes, man.
Well, it can be, or they can be real fast.
The average is about 20 minutes.
Yeah, for a whole inning, yes, absolutely. It's right around 20 minutes. Okay, fine. One inning and then go to this, you know, magic at-bat that you're going with. I'm okay with that, but it has to be some extra inning at some point just to have that overtime because everything has an overtime.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I want to hear from you guys. Do you like Justin Turner's idea? Should we extend it to Stu Gotts' idea where you designate before the game a magic at-bat, whether it's Cody Bellinger or Jock Peterson to compete in this home run derby? Like, it's basically taking Turner's idea and expanding it to designate a player before the game. Like, this is the guy that's going to compete. And let's say the guy gets hurt in the game. For whatever reason, then you designate like a backup guy, right? Like maybe you have like a back, then at that point you pick a backup guy once that other guy goes down. Like let's say Cody goes down in the game, then you could say, all right, then we want Jock because he's our guy.
Oh, that could work. Scott Sanchez on Twitter says, I like the home run derby after 10 innings, but to be spontaneous, the batter for each team is whoever's due up to bat next. I think you have to take out pitching spot in that situation because in the NL there's pitching and in the AL there's not.
Right.
But so you go to the next position player. But right. I mean, I don't mind. That doesn't bother me. I mean, the Dodgers are full of home run hitters, so I guess it's okay.
Right.
But, you know, you might get like, what's his name? Like a Danny Hecheverria going up.
Right, who's not a home run hitter. Right, yes.
No, not at all. Yes. That would be funny. Also, yeah. I'm with Boog, where if it goes past 12 innings at this point,
a tie.
Give it a tie. I don't care. Baseball is a long enough season that ties won't average out that badly.
All right.
I know I'm in the minority there, but just call it a tie.
Do you like this idea that Justin Turner proposed? Do you like my guy Stu Gotts' idea even better than Justin Turner's by designating a magic at bat? Do you have an option to fix baseball's length when it comes to extra innings, or do you like it as it is? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll take your calls in a sec. We'll try to line up Stu Gotts here in a little bit, too. Don't forget, we're still trying to find Mel Kiper. Ben Lyons will join us at 11:30, unless Kiper comes in, and then Lyons is going to have to get bumped a segment, or any of them. Actually, we'll get bumped a segment for Kiper. No offense to any of them. But real quick, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, a friend, a family member, yourself even. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com and provide first and last name, city, school, and sport, or post a short video of yourself, your classmate, your teammate, your family member on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen for your senior on 710 ESPN.